Galatians chapter 4. I want to share a picture that is given in this passage that I believe will be helpful for us as we prepare our hearts for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And that is what we're pushing towards here in our time together today. We regularly, as God instructs us, take this time to remember the Lord's death upon the cross, to remember his body as symbolized by the crackers that we have here, and then we celebrate his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins as symbolized here by this grape juice that we have, fruit of the vine. And so as we prepare our hearts for this time, it is helpful for us as we realize where our salvation has come from. The source is Jesus Christ. The source is from God. And as we've been studying through the letter to the Galatians, these group of believers, these groups of churches in Galatia, we have been challenged over and over with this comparison, the comparison between the law and faith. Or you could say the law and grace. If you look at Galatians chapter 4, I invite you to look at verse 19 and following. We read, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Did you catch all of those words of comparison? Such as bondage and free. There is power in these comparisons, and I think we understand this as we think of as we think of various different pictures in our society. In our society, the idea of being bound in bondage or being free, your mind will often go to the prison, to the idea that to that reality that so many men and women in our day, they are taken to prison, they are in bonds. They do not have the freedom to go about and do whatever they desire. They are under the control of others. I cannot imagine what it is like to have the cell door closed behind you and realizing you can do nothing to get out. To be bound or to be free. our minds on that same concept go to various different nations in our world today. There is what's commonly called the free world. Nations that are governed by and large by authorities that give basic freedoms to people. Yet there are other governing authorities and other nations that rule with an iron fist as dictators, as authoritarianism, and they push people down into submission, and they do not have freedom to live as they like. That word freedom is a precious word to us here in America. You hear that often on the lips of an American, right? We are free. And we love to tout that, and we are excited about that as Americans. But can you just imagine for a moment living in a land where you do not have the basic freedom to come and gather and worship such as this? Where church buildings are destroyed by the government at will, and you can do nothing about it. If they don't like you, they destroy it. We would have a hard time with that, wouldn't we? We'd be so frustrated because we have enjoyed such precious freedoms. But we're not talking about nationalism today. We're talking about in Jesus Christ, our spiritual well-being. Our spiritual destiny, if you will, the real solution for our sin. Because we are all sin. The law leads us to that understanding. There is a law because there is sin. But as we have seen in the scriptures, the law cannot justify us in the sight of God. There is only one way that you and I can be justified, that is declared right in the eyes of God, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other way that you can merit justification. It is only by faith in God. Paul uses this picture here of Abraham and his two sons. One was born of Hagar. That is Ishmael. Ishmael was born of Hagar, who was a bondmaid. In other words, she was a slave, a servant of Sarah. He brings this up because he wants to emphasize to us and to the people of Galatia that Ishmael was born according to fleshly reasoning. Remember, God said to Abraham, "You will be the father of many nations. You will have a son." But time went by and he had no children. And so Sarah and Abraham conspired to help God out. And this is the tragedy of a works salvation, because so many people long to try to help God out in their own salvation. Listen, God doesn't need any help. We are the ones who need help. And God has done everything he has needed. Everything that satisfies his wrath against sin, he has provided, and he's provided it through Jesus. If this is new to you today, you hear the name of Jesus, you hear the name of Jesus Christ, you need to know him. You need to come and understand that God sent his only son to this earth as a demonstration of his love for sinners like you and me. And Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He went for in our place as our Redeemer. And he died there. And 3 days later, he arose. You see, death cannot hold him. God is stronger. God is the overcomer. And in Christ, we too are overcomers. So there were two sons. Yes, Ishmael, born of a bondmaid. He was born according to the flesh. In other words, fleshly reasoning paved the way. But there was a second son that was born to Abraham. He was born of Sarah. And when you, as we read through this, in verse 23, we read, "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born by promise." So you see that the provision for their birth was very, very different. The provision for Ishmael's birth was the flesh. Was, I want to help God out in accomplishing his plan. We're going to do it our way. But according to the promise, the provision for Isaac's birth, it was according to God's word and way. And this is the struggle that we as humans have. We like to be in control, don't we? We like to be able to say it's this way and not this way. We like to be able to trace with our finger the way it ought to be. And yet, the Bible takes that away from us and relegates us to the point of desperate need, depravity in the sight of God. We are sinners and have offended a holy God. So the provision for their birth was either it was fleshly reasoning or it was God's promise. What is the provision for your testimony today? If you say you are a Christian, is it according to your flesh or is it according to God's promise? Is it according to what you can do to merit God's favor? Or is it according to what God has said and your faith and belief in him? There is a vast difference between the two. And the two cannot be combined. So the provision of their birth is explained, but then you see this picture that Paul brings out. There are two covenants represented here. Ishmael, or Hagar, the bondmaid, is representative of the covenant at Mount Sinai, which was what? The law that was given to the people of Israel. The law that cannot justify, but it's the law that points our need for a Savior, and God provided Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 25, "For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem." What does he mean by that? Well, Paul understands that in Jerusalem, the central place for Judaism, that is where the Pharisees hold up, and that is where the living according to the law and the elevating of the works of the law are centralized. And he is saying the people in Jerusalem, the state of that city today and its people, they are steeped in the law and they are not embracing Jesus Christ. So the covenant from Mount Sinai is the law and it corresponds to present day Jerusalem. He says Jerusalem is in bondage with her children. Who are her children? The products of their religion. But he says in verse 26, Jerusalem, which is above, is free. And again, he's using these terms of bondage, slavery, and freedom to get our attention. Because I dare say that if I were to ask any one of you, do you prefer to be free or enslaved? The answer would be what? Free. I want to be free. And we're talking here about a gift from God. And yet people who have professed faith in Christ are now being taught false teachings that are seeking to distract them from God's truth and lead them astray. But the Jerusalem which is above, this was representative of God's deliverance that comes from above. This Jerusalem above could speak of the Jerusalem of heaven. In other words, God's truth originating from there, and you know one day there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, where righteousness dwells. But again, this is according to God's promise. This is a place for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ by faith. The Jerusalem that is above is eternal. The Jerusalem that's in Israel today will one day come to an end. But the Jerusalem that is above is eternal. It's superior in its origin. It's superior in its duration. But not only that, it's free. It's free. And Paul says in verse 26, which is the mother of us all. He makes this statement to show the true state of believers in Christ. Paul sees himself as being birthed from above. What passage does that remind you of? A certain conversation between Jesus and a Pharisee, right? In John chapter 3, Jesus challenged Nicodemus, "You must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit." In verse 27, Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 54. And he says, "For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband." And when you go back and read Isaiah chapter 54, what you will find is Isaiah proclaiming to a group of people that will very soon be in bondage in Babylon. They will be considered desolate. But the call goes forth, there is much reason for hope. God has not abandoned you. Rejoice, break forth and cry, because there is a future for you. And so, now we, verse 28, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. Is that what you believe? Are you a child of the promise? He says in Scripture, verse 30, it says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, which is what Abraham did. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. There's no crossover. Yes, Ishmael had a small inheritance, and he was promised many children. And his descendants still live today. And we know, according to verse 29, that this persecution that took place between Ishmael and Isaac is still something that we see in our world today. So, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, of the law. We are of the free woman, of the promise. So the exhortation is then stand fast, dear ones. Stand fast in this liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Christ has made us free. Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Do not go back.